also, like, it's important to remember that that's human and you need to give yourself grace in that. And like 7 years ago, Becca didn't know to do that either. And so I was really hard on myself and felt like I was trying everything, even on the days that I might not have been trying things. It felt like I had already tried it. So why should I try again? Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had something to look at that would motivate me to keep going, right? Some way of tracking that for my own brain and like my own heart, but also that of everyone else in my classroom. And like to help communicate the consistency with which I am trying things.
Hope is powered by data, is a mantra we've been exploring. We think about using data to track behaviors. Let's build habits and skills to navigate the world in healthy ways. This is Sticky Hope. Becca, I've been reading Data Rules by Jim Knight. Here is the cover of the book. It came out in September 2024. And as I was reading it, I sent you a quote from it. And I just want to share a little bit of that with our listeners. So Jim Knight in Data Rules wrote, "For teachers to have hope, they need to use data to identify a pathway that will enable them to move towards their goal, and then they need to use data to monitor progress until the goal is met. If teachers don't see a pathway to their goal, they won't feel hope." And so I've really been lingering with that, and I've kind of I like to play a lot with words and just kind of have little mantras. And so I've been using this mantra, hope is powered by data. Do you think that's true? Hope is powered by data?
I do. And when you first said that to me, I was like, what are you talking about? Right? Because you hear the word data in the land of education and you're like, oh my goodness, are we really talking about data again? And you sit through data meetings and you hear it, it can become exhausting to talk about data. And so when you think of the word hope, you don't think about data first. Mm-hmm. But as I read that quote that you sent again, could you read it again?
Yeah. For teachers to have hope, they need to use data to identify a pathway that will enable them to move towards their goal. And then they need to use data to monitor progress until the goal is met. If teachers don't see a pathway to their goal, they won't feel hope.
Thank you. Yeah, it is the pathway, right? Data is how we know what's come before, and it shows us what's coming next. It shows us skill gaps. It shows us what to teach instructionally next. And that's how we find hope, right? Like when we know where we're going, we have hope for the future. When we don't know how to get there, how are we going to know we can get there? And so hope is powered by data. And that's a brain shift for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been thinking, you know, hope is powered by data. And we have more data than what we can know what to do with. I also think it's really important, like one of the places we can collect data is with our habits. So we were talking last episode, in episode 17, about just the behaviors that we're seeing and building skills for kids to navigate the world in really pro-social ways. And so I was thinking about a habit tracker. I read Atomic Habits. It's been probably 9 months ago now, and it's still one of those books that it just has really stuck with me. And I was just thinking about, well, okay, we have data for everything about learning, but if students don't have behaviors that are positioning them to learn, then they're not learning. And so how do we begin to build habits and skills so that students have behaviors that position them to learn? And I've just been thinking a lot about like that habit tracker and how, like last episode, you were talking about Skylar and how you just felt like a failure at the end of the day because her behavior kept going. And I was like, I don't know that it's very hopeful to like track Skylar kicking her desk every day. Like, I don't know if that's the kind of data that's going to power hope. Yeah. But I do wonder, like, for in that situation, so what we didn't talk about, but kind of the rest of the story is you decided ahead of time, like before the day started with Skylar, you pre-decided how you were going to respond to her.
Yeah, eventually I did, right? Like for a long time, I was just reacting and I was like, oh, she's kicking the desk again. Here we go. Another lesson out the window, right? And eventually I went home and I was like, okay, we got to do something different here. And I pre-decided that I was going to like meet with her ahead of time, not knowing that was doing exactly what she needed, right? Before she was asking for it, I was giving her the connection with me, the support, the encouragement, like, hey, remember, you're learning, you can do this. And I pre-decided to be supportive of her before the behavior started in that day. And as I pre-decided that, I felt more confident. I was trying things to support her. She felt seen and heard, like, oh, my teacher's actually doing something that helps today. And that together, we were able to, that propelled us forward. And it was easier for me to be like, okay, like, it feels better when I have something intentional and responsive to be doing instead of like sitting at my table at the end of the day and just being like, oh, yep, it was another desk kicking day.
I've tried everything. There's nothing else I can do. And I feel like we feel that a lot. I know I've felt that at different points working with kids who just have behaviors that are sometimes not really conducive to a learning community. And so here's the thing, though. You're like, okay, so I decided to meet with Skylar ahead of time. Did she like instantly stop kicking the desk?
No, it wasn't like I met with her once and it was done. It took time, right? And it was inconsistent and some days were harder than others. And for me, that was true too. Like some days I had it in me to go over and have those check-ins and give her those supports. And other days it was wild and other things were happening. And then all of a sudden the desk started going again. And also like, it's important to remember that that's human and you need to give yourself grace in that. And like seven years ago, Becca didn't know to do that either. And so I was really hard on myself and felt like I was trying everything, even on the days that I might not have been trying things. It felt like I had already tried it. So why should I try again? Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had something to look at that would motivate me to keep going, right? Some way of tracking that for my own brain and like my own heart, but also that of everyone else in my classroom. And like to help communicate the consistency with which I am trying things.
Exactly. So you're like, you know, there were days where it felt horrible at the end of the day. And you're like, I've tried everything. I've already done it. And you're like, but that was a day that I was actually reacting and maybe there wasn't a proactive, like a responsive way. It also could have been a day where you were super responsive and the behavior happened anyway. And I think like while you were talking, I was like, okay, so if we can shift the data that we're looking at from the just this disruption that's happening to, did I do the thing I pre-decided to do? And so when I'm thinking about hope is powered by data, I don't know if like tracking all the times that Skylar kicked her desk, if that would actually be hope, give us hope. Yeah. But if you begin tracking, okay, I pre-decide who I want to be in this situation, and now I'm going to track each day that I do that, I think then like we're changing the standard, right? The expectation. So my expectation isn't that I control Skylar, but my expectation is I'm going to be in charge of the things that I'm doing, and that then in turn is building my hope, because what we're going to see I think, given enough time, right? And that's the thing. It's not going to happen next week. And we could have, like, my guess is then once things got rolling and Skylar's building some new skills, you might have a few days or a week. Like, you have this stretch of time. Is that true? That things are going pretty well?
Yeah.
We've arrived. And then a Tuesday happens.
Right.
I can't do this. I'm a failure. And it's not that you're a failure. You can go back and say, but I was exactly who I wanted to be in that mm-hmm. situation. And I'm going to check that, like, I'm going to mark that day. So now I have 47 days that I have been who I wanted to be. And I think it changes things for the work that we're doing.
For sure. And it shifts what we're paying attention to. And I, like, as you were saying that, we will have to track the behaviors, right? Well, like, eventually, if we're being told we have to track the behaviors, we're going to have to keep the tally charts or keep the behavior charts or whatever. Like, that's going to end up being part of it sometimes. But the part that we get to focus on, we get to choose what we're paying attention to. And we're going to pay attention to the part that's in our control. We can't control whether or not the desk is going to start being kicked that day. It's like, it depends on if Skylar, you know, the 30,000 factors that could come into play, right? But I get to control and decide who I'm going to be in these situations. And I get to look and see how many times I have implemented the things I planned to implement. And that is the part that gives us hope. And eventually we'll see one impact the other.
Exactly. Like, that's where it gets really exciting. Now we have these two kinds of, like, we've tracked two behavior datas, right? And now we're able to see the way that one is impacting another, because it takes time, and we have to be able to do that over time. So you have a student in your class, Whitney, who really, you were starting to feel like, I've tried everything, nothing's happening. Like you've said that student behavior makes us feel emotional, and you were feeling emotional with Whitney. And so you grabbed this behavior tracker, right? Like the one that we've been sharing. It was really kind of just born and created out of this. I'm feeling like I've done everything with Whitney, and now what's next?
Yeah. So Whitney is an incredible girl, so creative with the biggest heart, and has some behaviors, not destructive behaviors. She's not malicious in any way. That her choices are just like super impulsive, and I have a hard time being like, what? Where did that just come from? Like, why? Why are we doing this right now? And it can feel really defeating at the end of the day when it has just been a day of like, Whitney, 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 Whitney. And like it, I would text you or call you or send you like, I just call them juice box pictures, but like at the end of the day where I'm like, I'm just going to drink one of these juice boxes. And it was really frustrating. And you started to encourage me to be like, okay, so what are we doing, right? Like, what do you do to support her when these things are happening? And I do a bunch of things, but I wasn't doing a great job tracking them. And so I started to make a list, and we were kind of like, whoa, that's a long list. And then I started to realize like, okay, but we need to look at like which of these things on this list are actually helping her and which ones aren't. And eventually we got to the point of like, what else is there that could support her? And a lot of times it's helpful to just see what I've tried, right? There are a lot of things that we're working on for Whitney, and it's not going to happen fast. But when I can step back and look at that skills tracker and think about how I've implemented it, and like, oh, like there was a chunk of time today that the visual schedule was helpful for her. And so if I can focus on that part of the day instead of like the part of the day where she shouted out every other word in the read aloud, like that helps my brain feel better about how the day went.
Are you feeling stuck with a student's behavior, even after trying everything you can think of? We've been there too. That's why we created the Route to Response Behavior Sheet, a simple research-based tool to help you understand what's behind the behavior and what might help. You're already doing so much. It's not about doing more. It's about doing what works. Grab yours at stickyhope.com. You've got this, and we've got you.